Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions, obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Thank you for being with us for another message of grace. We have a special opportunity today to do something a little differently. Often we have Pastor Richard Jordan from Grace School of the Bible, who does many of the messages of the message of grace, and you get a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching, and that's our primary interest, to share those things with you. But we've done some other things in the past. We've had several local speakers come and share with you some things that are dear to their heart. And then we've had our song leader, Jim Wilshire, who came and did a couple singing sessions where we had nothing but music during the message of grace. We had the Grace Men Trio do a couple of those. And so you've gotten a little bit of variety. Today you're going to get a little bit more variety, as I'm going to have an interview, and I want to introduce to you someone who's very special to me, even though we're going to talk about this program and call it the ordinary guy. But he might be ordinary to you, but he's not to me. He's my dad, and I'd like you to meet my dad, Larry Bruchet Sr. Thanks for being on the program, Pop. And this is a real privilege to have an opportunity to get to share with you with the people who watch our program and to let them get to know you.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's my pleasure to be here this evening, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully many of your friends will be watching. Dad's a retired, from General Motors and from other places, and he is... has many friends that he goes and sees at different places, and you'll get to know him and about a little bit about him first. But you know, Dad, before I ask you any questions and let you answer to the people about what the Lord means to you and all, there's something special about the relationship of my dad and I. He might be my father in the flesh, but he is my brother in Christ. And he's also a friend. There comes a time in a relationship where father and son, when you mature, that it becomes a friendship. And we're partners in the ministry of the Lord. We both work together at Grace Bible Church and the ministry there. And a lot of times people think that because I'm a pastor that I came from a family where my dad was a pastor. And they're surprised when I tell them that he isn't. He's just an ordinary guy. And that's really all we all are. But there was a movie one time called The Ordinary Guy. And it just showed a man who's just an ordinary person living and serving the Lord. And that's what my dad represents to me. The verse that seemed to be the way that he raised me, and I like to share this because it's really the way I feel about how you raised me, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The nation of Israel was told this. It says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The way that we're supposed to teach the things of the Lord, we all go how to raise our children and read all kinds of books of psychology and all, but my dad raised me this way, just being the times that my dad and I went hunting together, went fishing together several times, and just ran around town together, that my dad would talk about the Lord when we're sitting in the house, and when we're walking by the way, and when we rise up and we lay down. It was just around our house, we just talked about the Lord as an ordinary part of life. And it gave me the direction that I needed in life and filled me with the idea of serving the Lord. And so I'd like to get you to know my dad in the way that he is just ordinary. Just to ask some questions, just so you get to know a little bit about his life, I've asked some things, wrote some things down that I'd like to ask him. And perhaps it'd be good for you to start out just to talk a little bit about your upbringing. I talked about the Christian home I was raised in, but tell them what kind of Christian environment you were raised in.
Sure, Tom. I'm from a little town in Pennsylvania, a coal mining town. My dad was a coal miner, and a Christian family. My dad worked in the mine. My mother, she died when I was about 10 years old, awful young. But we attended, there was two churches there, about 3 miles apart, and we attended church. And it didn't matter really which one we went, but we had a particular one on Sunday morning we'd go to, and then sometime in the evening we'd go to the other church, the denominational churches. And there was legalism in the church. I know that we were brought up that you do certain things and you don't do certain things. Especially, I remember a ball game. They used to have a ball team, and they'd be playing ball up there on a Sunday, but we were told you're not supposed to go to ball games on Sunday. That today was like a Sabbath day to us. We were taught those things, and you don't do this on a Sabbath. Of course, it was a Sunday, you know. We know better now than just being a Sabbath day. But that's the way we were brought up, and used to just try to watch those ball games and stretch our necks from the porch, which would be quite a ways from the ball field, but it was up on the hill, and we tried to watch those ball games because we weren't allowed to go up there, or wasn't supposed to. But my dad gave us freedom. He just taught us not to do those things, and so we felt they were right, and so we didn't do it. We just didn't try sneaking up there or anything. We just wondered what was going on all the time, so it was pretty legalistic. But I do remember one thing. We were the center of town, our house was, and all the men would come, like maybe on a Wednesday, and they'd just have Bible discussions. And I always was taught that the Bible was the Word of God. That always stayed in my mind, and that was an important thing, which would have been in my future from when I was a child to remember. And I did remember that the Bible was the Word of God, and I never forgot that. And so at that time, with all the legalism and everything, I just went along with it, not knowing but that the Bible was the Word of God, and I'd sit in the corner and listen to them discuss certain things, and they'd talk about Christ dying for the sin, but I never really understood those things at that time.
So you grew up with a fear of God and a knowledge of God, but not of salvation.
That's right. Fear of God, the morals were all taught, and I knew what was wrong morally, what we should do morally, and that stayed in my mind all my upbringing.
Now, it would be good for them to know, the viewers, that you're the youngest of six surviving brothers and sisters.
Right. I had, that's right, there's four boys and there was two girls. So I have three brothers and two sisters, which only one brother is still living, and my two sisters are still living, and I'm the baby of the family.
Yeah. So. And they're quite a bit ahead of you. Because yes. That leads my next question. I thought it might be good to know, when did you begin to venture out on your own? If your mom passed away when you were 10 years old, and you had a lot of freedom when you were pretty young then.
Oh, yes. Well, I went to eighth grade of school in Pennsylvania. My dad worked in the coal mine. Him and I lived together, and I always had to be there to help him when he got home. You know, coal mining gets pretty dirty, and there was no bathtubs and showers in those days, and I'd always have to be there to help him wash his back and everything when he came home. And so I was about 15, 16 years old before I left there and came to state of Michigan. So at that time, I was really on my own mostly when I came here. I lived with my sisters and my aunt, but more or less I was on my own, very young age.
Okay, before we get into some of the other things that happened later, perhaps it'd be good to talk a little bit just about a short time about your military career, because people want to know your patriotism and how you served.
Oh, yes. I was 18 years old, 1943. I went into the Navy, and I remember the day that I left for the Navy, I walked all by myself up to a bus, you know, nobody with me. And being young, I found my way down to where I was supposed to meet the bus and the train and head for Chicago. That's where I had my basic training in Chicago. And I spent a time in the Navy after basic training. I went down to Norfolk and went aboard ship in 1944. And I served 2.5 years in that ship. And so,
during the Second World War.
Second World War, yep. Right.
Okay, then Then after that, you're back in the Michigan area. What events brought you to an understanding and then an assurance of your salvation?
Okay, when I come home from the service, I was still a young fellow, and I did a lot of traveling up north and fishing and hunting and that. And finally, in 1951, I got married. And wife, I wasn't going to church any time at that time. Before that, I'd go to church mostly to play ball, ball for evangelical church. And that was mostly amounted to get on the ball team.
Seemed to like baseball a lot.
Yeah, like it was softball that we played. But at that time, I didn't know the Lord and didn't have a knowledge of much of the Bible until after I got married, and the wife had came from a Christian church, and we started attending a Christian church. And then we went to a Billy Graham crusade and went forward there. But when I went forward, all I could think of was what I was taught, that I'm going to dedicate the life to Christ. I'm going to have to, well, I can't go fishing on Sundays, I figured, because that's, you know, that's a Sabbath day, and you can't fish on those days. And that was in my mind, you know. But I made a decision to start reading the Scripture because I knew that was the Word of God. I remembered that. And I went home, and I started reading the New Testament through, and some things I could understand and some things I couldn't. But I did learn that Bible study and prayer goes together. So I started asking God to what church I should go to, what things I need to have revealed to me. And as I began to study, I began to come to read different things, and I was open-minded, and I found that to be very important, to be open-minded. And then I began to see how the Scriptures taught that Christ died for my sins. And I realized then I made a commitment to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then I continued studying the Bible, and that was just the beginning of my new life in Christ.
Now, how'd you find that then?
By looking to the Scriptures, by reading different things. When somebody gave me something to read, I would go back to the Scriptures and read them in the Scriptures to see whether they were so. And
but weren't a lot of people giving you things? Now, you say, Mom was raised in a Christian church, and then you went to a disciple of Christ, I know, from years back, and then you went, studied with the Seventh-day Adventism.
Yeah. I was taking a course off of television. I think it was something about Truth for the Day. It was a course, and some from Billy Graham's crusade stopped at the house one time, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm reading, I'm taking this course. And I showed them. They said, well, you better be careful, some of those things. I said, well, I'm looking up the Scriptures in them. But at that time, I didn't know very much. Then different ones. My wife's grandfather came and was showing me passages in Romans 6, you know, about being baptized into Christ. And I never understood a lot about that. And so I started looking into those things, but still with an open mind and still praying. Continually praying to God to lead me in these truth.
And then there was the home Bible study that.
Right.
Then I got in Grace Bible Church.
I got involved in a study. My cousin and them were in a home Bible study at a home, and there was a pastor coming down from Holland, Michigan, and teaching in this Bible study. And here he was teaching the security of the believer, and to me that was pretty foreign. I said, well, what I'll do here is I'll just look into the Scriptures, and I'll go to some other wise pastors and show me these Scriptures where he must be wrong to understand this, because we never understood the security of the believer, what we believe you could lose your salvation. And so in studying those Scriptures, and when somebody would try to show me from the Bible, I began to understand that, wait a minute, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I began to think about these things, and the more someone would try to show me where you could lose salvation, I saw that you were secure.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing in my life, because without that security, I don't know where I'd have been. I think I would have gave up. Like so many friends that I had said, they tried and they said they give up, they just can't live it. But I learned that Jesus Christ did it all for me. And through faith in him, I have eternal life and am sealed by the Holy Spirit. I had no problem then beginning to see that my life is to live for Christ. But he put up with me no matter what, because he loved me so, and he gave himself for me. And I learned that pretty quick in my Bible study.
If salvation depended upon us, we could lose it. If salvation was the works that we did, then we would only be on probation as long as we were doing the good works, and then lose it the moment we stopped. But if salvation is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, then all we do is trust what he did, and what he did is sufficient to save eternally. And that's the only way we could know we were saved. Now, in yours, so you're learning the truth about the finished work of the cross of Christ. Tell them about how you used to struggle with assurance, how you knew you were saved, and the questions that you'd ask and the answers you got.
Yeah, well, an assurance of salvation, you always taught, like I had a brother always tell me that you go to the altar and you pray through and those things, you know, and looking for experience in those. I never had that kind of an experience. So I had to learn more and more. I listened to radio, put your hands on the radio. If you felt it, you're saved, you know. Well, that didn't happen. Then I just more and more learned that I had to trust the Word of God. And God said, if I trust in His Son, I have eternal life. So I just learned then that I take God at His Word and not man's Word. And so I come to the assurances that when I would say, well, I don't feel saved. I remember the pastor that was teaching a Bible class that used to get aggravated with me sometime and say, you're not saved by feelings, you're saved by faith. And he was right, and I began to see it more and more as I studied the Word. I began to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus.
And with that came more assurance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is a question that you probably know what I have in mind. The viewers might not understand it as much. But what most would you like to communicate to the viewers about Christianity?
Well, I think it's when you learn from God's Word and how to rightly divide that Word, it seemed like all the religious feelings and everything that you had seemed to go, and reality begins to take place. You find out it's not just something you have on the side, something that makes you feel good, but the reality of what life is and what death is about. And you look at God in a different perspective. You see that God is working in your life and that you have a hope. And as you study the Scriptures and learn all these blessings, it really becomes part of your life and the reality that you can go out and say, this isn't something you have on the side, but it is the very meaning of life itself. And you have a goal, something to strive for, and you know of a blessed hope when this life ends that you have for all eternity, and it becomes real.
So Christianity is real, and it's living. How about the things you used to talk to me quite often? You say you only went to eighth grade in school.
That's right.
And yet anybody talks to you realizes that you have an education that's way beyond the eighth grade.
Oh, yes. I always say through Bible study I got an education because I read different things and different people and their philosophies and find out it's not worldly philosophy, but God said my word is truth. And so to know truth, you really have to go to the Word of God. And anytime I get in a conversation with anybody and start up, I could always go to the Scripture, no matter where you went. If you want to talk about politics or war or anything, and you start going into Scripture and keep going back, you have to start with the Bible. We could start discussing anything. Remember that today they tell us to separate church and state and everything. But if you go back, remember what Jesus Christ came to be, the King of Israel. Well, you could call that politics. He is a king, and he's going to be a king. And so there we have government, and it's taught in the Scriptures. In the days of Noah, when he started human government, all that's in the Scriptures. And I learned by studying the Scriptures and these things that you can have a knowledge of things around you. And then I learned in Corinthians that the wisdom of the world is just foolishness with God. So we want true wisdom and understand truth. You turn to the Scriptures, and you don't have to be a great theologian to understand the Scriptures, because there's a lot of people that are very educated and very smart men that can't understand it. And the Bible says that a natural man can't understand the things that are taught in the Scriptures concerning Christ because they're spiritually discerned. But you look to God, and He says, if you'll search for wisdom as you do for silver and gold, He says, He will give it to you. Of course, it comes one step at a time. You're not going to give everything one day. You're told to study to show yourself approved. And so I did that, and learning different things, even what the philosophers and different ones believed, I had read on different things, and saw the Scripture has the answers that you can't find anywhere else.
And when I was in school and they used to have they teach history, I often wondered why we had to learn all these things about history, until I started studying history from a biblical point of view and realized that what history really should stand for is His story. It's the story of God, His plan, His purpose, not just in the past, but where things are going in the future. Now, One of the things, if you've studied with a whole bunch of different groups of people and they all had different things, you were brought up to believe some things that you've learned isn't true, and then you were taught some things along the way that isn't true. Tell us what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 has come to mean for you, and how important is that to Bible study? Perhaps quote the verse for the other.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So many think that dividing is just between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I learned that there was something that the Apostle Paul had called a mystery that was never revealed in the Old Testament. So it can't just be dividing between the Old and the New Testaments, which were given to the nation of Israel, really, the covenants. But rightly dividing was between what the prophets had to say and what the Apostle Paul had to say concerning a mystery, and that was what really happened on Calvary, the how and why of the cross. And I begin to understand that, and as I looked and checked out scriptures and comparing scriptures with the one thing that had been taught me as a Berean, a search of scriptures to see whether these things were so, I realized that that's a very important thing of rightly dividing the word of truth. But there you can take the scriptures literally for what they say. Israel is Israel. And I didn't have to spiritualize it and make the kingdom something spiritual. It's a literal kingdom. It's going to be set up. And I start understanding the kingdom. And then I understand what the church, the body of Christ, was by comparing the two and the differences between the kingdom and the body.
So when we start rightly dividing the Bible, as the Bible tells us to do, the first thing is we learn more about what the cross means, because that wasn't revealed until it was revealed to Paul. Right. Other than that, it was a prophesied event, and it became a historic event, but Paul puts the meaning behind the cross, God's secret purpose in the cross. And then as we further study that, we find out that God isn't just dealing with Israel, like the Old Testament only talks about Israel, but that today he's saving all mankind and not making us a part of any nation, but making us part of Christ, the body of Christ. And then that has an effect upon not only what we're to understand in the portion of the Bible that we're supposed to believe and practice today, but it also changes our hope, doesn't it?
It sure does. That's right. Where Israel's hope was the kingdom that was to come on this earth and will come on this earth when Christ comes to set up the kingdom and be the king of all the earth. And Paul talks about us being blessed with all heavenly blessings in heavenly places in Christ, where Christ is now seated, and that someday we're going to meet Christ in the air, and there in heavenly places. The purpose of the body of Christ is to be placed in the heavenlies, and that was God's purpose for the heavens.
So do you believe that until the Apostle Paul, that all the saints of the Old Testament, none of them ever had any knowledge of going to heaven?
No, they hadn't.
Where were they going to be?
Well, they look for that kingdom all through the prophetic scriptures. Just talk about a kingdom that was coming that was going to be set up on earth with Israel as the priesthood of all nations. For they're going to it's going to be Israel, and then through them all the nations are going to be blessed. And that's what they all look for. They look for a kingdom be set up where there'd be righteousness in the land that was promised to Abraham, the throne, the kingdom promised to the seed of David. And Matthew 1:1 begins that way with Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. And so they were looking for that kingdom and the fulfillment to be on earth and not looking for to go to heaven.
So God's spiritual people, the body of Christ for today, we have a very unique promise to us that no one else ever had.
That's right. Today, as we look forward to being above those angelic beings and that are in the authorities in the heavens today. There's principalities and powers, governmental authorities in those heavens today, and we, the body of Christ, are going to occupy that authority when Christ, as head of the church, has all authority in the heavens given to him, as on earth he also will have all authority under his kingship. And so that's why Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Well, there's a lot we could cover on that. I'd be really want to almost go into that, but they show us that there's only a few minutes left, and perhaps you're going to have to tell a story a little bit short, but it might be humorous for the people who are viewing, but yet there's a real truth in it. I know my dad really hates it when people change meanings of words and distort truth as a result of it, actually deceive people. And one of the things that I know you've talked about in the shop and all when you've talked to men about the gospel is that you had a friend one time that you convinced him that you're a Roman Catholic and that he's a Protestant, when the truth of the matter in practice was he went to the Catholic Church and you would be considered by him a Protestant, but you turned it around on him. Explain your wisdom in that.
Right. Well, you realize that the word Catholic means universal. And if you look at the dictionary, Webster Dictionary, in the first definition, it'll talk about a united Christian church. Well, the body of Christ is that united Christian church. I belong to the body of Christ. And if you want to be technical, it is the Catholic Church. Many Protestants in Apostles' Creed even have that, I belong to the true Catholic Church. So the word Catholic just means universal, and that is the body of Christ. And this friend who claimed to be Roman Catholic, they would call us Protestants because we didn't believe the same as them. But I says, no, I believe from the book of Romans, I'm justified by faith in the Lord Jesus, and that brings me into the United Church. And that's a Catholic church. I said, you don't believe in that, do you? So, no. I said, well, that makes you the Protestant and me the Catholic. And so I enjoyed talking that way to him, but it's true that we use the word sometime outside of its meaning. They got their name because they believe that they were the one true church, but all true believers in the finished work of Christ belong to the true church, and that you could say that was a Catholic church.
Yeah, and so anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're the ones who belong to the body of Christ, and anyone who tries to come into salvation any other way is protesting God's way.
That's right.
And cannot be saved. Well, we thank you for being on the program, Dad, and I thank you for watching and realizing the relationship my dad and I have, and most of all, the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you can be a brother and sister in Christ as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.